we came to his table, brother and sister. Amen. I think he's here. See. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and die. With his manna he doth fill and supplies our every need. All this sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and die, the master call it, come and die. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and die. The disciples came to learn, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called unto them, come and die. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfied the hungry every time. Come and die, the master call it, come and die. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and die. Come and die, the master call it, come and die. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and die. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble thee. Oh, it will be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and die, the master call it, come and die. Once more, come and die, the master call it, come and die. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it.
Brother and sister, Bible says that he is same yesterday, today, and forever. Those people, they've been hungry, and they didn't even expect that he will feed them, brother and sister. Maybe today, what you don't expect, he will do for you. Amen. Let's sing that song, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen. I will enter. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Of heaven are open even this evening. Amen. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus made it.
Robe of your white, I am feasting on manna from heaven.
that's why, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Amen. Let's open the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this evening that we can be in your house, O Lord. You promised wherever you gather two or three in my name, Lord, we gathered this evening in your name, O Lord. We want to invite you for you to come among our midst, O Lord. And Lord, we want to have fellowship with you. Lord, what we want to ask you also inspiration for brother who is preparing to stay in, to be in front in instead of you, O Lord. You anoint his lips, O Lord, give him inspiration, O Lord. Lord, what we want to ask, Lord, give inspiration to us also, that we will be inspired, O Lord, that we will be in expectation, O Lord, this evening, because like we sing these songs, O Lord, the windows of heaven are open, they are never closed, O Lord. We saw a nation of Israel when they went, when you poured water from that rock, O Lord, you opened the way. They just went away from the rock. Lord, we want to come this evening to your rock, to you, O Lord, that you will feed us, that you will fill our thirst, O Lord. We commit our ways into your hands, whatever will be said and done, into your name, O Lord, for your glory we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 If brother can find that song, it's There's a Land That Is Fairer Than Day. Amen. There's a Land. I think in G. There's a land that is fairer and by faith we can see it at sea, by and by,
one of food, one of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the even this evening and according to His word. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered on, we will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares, often take us unawares. In our hearts are made to bleed for many thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. But we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered on, we will tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by.
Fellowship, what a joy divine, meaning on the everlasting high. What a blessedness of a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting high. And secure from all alarm, leaning on the everlasting God. What, how sweet to walk in this pilgrimage, leaning on the everlasting. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting, I am blessed peace with my Lord's name. Leaning on the everlasting. Leaning. this blessing of the Lord is just foretaste of what is coming. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord, really. If brother can find song, I'm thinking of the rapture on the blessed home on high. I don't know if you feel same, but more and more you feel uncomfortable here, brother and sister. Many things against you. Amen. But he promised that he's going to prepare home for you. Real home. Amen. I am thinking of the rapture on our blessed home when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll raise the heavenly altar in that city on the sky when the redeemed are gathering. Understand that greatest story, brother and sister. If a brother can find song, it's down from his glory, ever living story. His love, his story, brother and sister, lives for ages. Amen. Let's sing that song. Oh, how I love him. Amen. Down from his glory, ever living story. My God and Savior.
Jesus
was his name.
Born in a manger, to his home the stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him. God gracious, laid aside his banner, stooping to win, to save my soul. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator, he became my savior. Flesh and blood is substance. He took the form of man, revealed the hidden blood. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice. Standing, ground, and I know. the place where love abides. For the highest temple, Jehovah God abides in, and we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Yes, we are standing.
We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around.
Even now, the Lord is right here with us. He's never failed yet to meet a meeting, and we want to thank Him for that tonight. Thank you to the musicians for being faithful in the post of duty. We just want to turn to the scriptures tonight, to a couple of places. In the book of Matthew chapter 15, we will read Matthew 15 and then again Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. If you have found it, I'll read. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, reading the account of this woman, moved by the sickness that was upon her child, to go against tradition, to go against anything that would turn her away, and humble himself before you and cry, Lord, help me. Father, what a display of compassion, for it wasn't her herself that needed the help, but her child. And Father, she was so moved by the need of help for her child that she came and humbled herself before you and said, Lord, help me. Father, and we are also coming tonight, Lord, crying to you that help us, O Lord. For without you, Father, we realize that we have nothing that we could do Only from you does our help come. And tonight we are coming, Lord, against all principalities, against the laws of this land, against anything that would hinder us, Lord, to humble before you ourselves, Lord, and cry, Lord, help us. We commit, Lord, the reading of thy word into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. I pray that you pray for me as you are sitting there and I'm standing here. The devil has been kicking a fight since I don't know how long. And I seem to win and then I come here and all is well and then my stomach began, you know. So I'm standing in a very, very difficult place, but I pray that the Lord will help us. I want to read again just from the previous chapter, chapter 14, the one before the one that we read. And I want to read a few verses from there, from verse number 20. Maybe, perhaps, we'll read from verse number 19, Matthew 14, verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So I'm very sure this is a familiar place for everybody that's here. When the people had come to Jesus upon the mountain, and there were so many of them, it says out of the people that ate the food, 5,000 men beside women and children. So a great miracle was done in this place because it all came from two fishes and five loaves. Now, in our minds, we may begin to think, because when we say a loaf of bread in our own context, it looks as if a loaf of bread that you buy in Tesco or Lidl or something like that. But this loaf of bread wasn't like that. This was a sandwich of, for this lunch, this whole lunch, two fishes and five loaves, was lunch for a little boy. So you can begin to see the magnitude of the miracle that Jesus did. That there were 5,000 men besides women and children, you know? So you can imagine and let your imagination run to see how many people were fed that day. And Jesus took these two fishes and five loaves, prayed, and started to divide them, giving to the disciples and saying, give to the people. And the people were getting food. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Yeah? And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So imagine yourself having been there. If it had rained fish from heaven, and then maybe flour and other things, and people would go and make bread, maybe it wouldn't have caught your attention too much. But this was bread which was already prepared, fish which was already cooked, all of it from two little fishes and five sandwiches. That really showed that something beyond the ordinary was happening here. This was no ordinary man who did this. And straight away Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, okay, so he sent his disciples while he was sending the multitudes away. He said, get into the boat and go the other side. I will meet you there. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So here is Jesus, having performed this great miracle with his disciples, seeing exactly the magnitude of this miracle, and then he sends his disciples away. When you listen to the message, it is I, be not afraid, the prophet, I don't know how many times he preached that, many times. The magnitude of this miracle caused the disciples, when they got on that little boat across the sea, to be talking about the miracles that Jesus had done. And some of them would have been saying, maybe they would have had some room to doubt who this man was. But when they seen that miracle, from that day there was no more doubt in their minds that this Jesus that we are walking with, truly he is the Son of God. For how can a man do like this? Even in today's contest, if we take a man and maybe he could try and do this or that, there's nobody who can repeat this, what Jesus did. Feeding 5,000 people out of two fishes and five loaves of bread. You can't just repeat it. It has to be God do that. So when they were in that boat, I want you to picture this because it's going to be very important. That when the disciples were in that boat talking of this miracle, obviously they were talking of this miracle, of the thing that Jesus had done because of the magnitude of that miracle. Even the people that were sent away, they went away talking of the fishes and the bread. Say, we've never seen such a thing. So as they were away, Jesus went apart himself to pray. He just went apart and went into a mountain just to be alone sometimes. And it's a good thing for everybody to find a way where you can be just be alone with the Lord. Just to pray and refresh yourself. Because after such a great miracle, you need to be alone for a little while to hear from the Lord again. But as Jesus was away and the disciples were far away there, listening to that message, the prophet mentions that the devil took advantage. And many, many times that's how the devil does it. When you are a little bit away and you've been busy with something and you're a little bit away, that's where he takes advantage to try to attack you. That's exactly the place where we are now. Because if you try to imagine what has happened over the last 2,000 years, that after the greatest transaction that Jesus ever did to die on the cross for you and me, that's why we are sitting here today. For 2,000 years, we have been talking about how Jesus died for me. That's been the story. But he has gone away in his physical form, away from his disciples, away from his bride, and we are, as it were, sailing on the sea of life in a little boat, just the bride, speaking about the things that Jesus has done for us. And that's the time when the devil thinks he has the advantage over you because he does not see that Jesus, even though he was away apart in a mountain from the disciples, he could see them. He knew exactly where they were. Just as much as God tonight, he knows exactly where you are. In your own little boat. And the prophet says your own little boat can fit only you and Jesus alone. And make sure that boat is always congregated with you and Jesus. Because the moment Jesus is not there, the devil, as much as he did in this story here, it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. We have sailed a long way now. We have been Christians, many of us, 20-something years, some 30, some 10, and so forth. But this story did not start with us. For 2,000 years now, this boat has been sailing. And we have gone quite far. We are almost on the other side of the shore now. And it says the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Because the devil, if he can't get you from inside, he's going to try from outside. He's not going to give up trying to get you. Even on your deathbed, he is still going to try to get you to put you in a corner. Because that's just his nature. He's evil. He doesn't give up. He will try in every avenue, which is why a brother or sister must keep every avenue of their life covered by the blood of Jesus. The moment you have a little avenue open, he's going to use that. And he's very good at it. And these disciples were in that boat now. And the devil seen, aha, now I've got a chance to get them. Because he couldn't get them from inside. When he comes and he tries to cause division, this one saying which one is greater, can we sit on the right side or the left side of you? What? The devil trying to get them from inside. And even though it didn't work at that time, he kept on trying until Jesus himself had to say, Peter, the devil had desired you, but I have prayed for you. Don't be mistaken about it. The devil is desiring you and you and me tonight. But if it wasn't for God who has fortified us under his word, Peter would have been the one who betrayed Jesus. But God, Jesus himself, had prayed for Peter. And I'm glad that we are in his hands tonight. And he said, none of the ones you gave me have I lost. Every one of us, we are fortified as long as we stay under that word. So now, he looked and seen them away in that boat on the sea of life. And he thought, I've got my chance now. I'm going to drown that little boat, if you read the message. And the wind became boisterous, and the waves were tossing, and the tempest was rising against this boat. And he thought that he had the advantage because Jesus was not in the boat with the disciples. But Jesus, he knew exactly where the disciples were. And when that tempest came to a place where they could almost not bear it, the Bible says, but straight away, maybe I jumped a little bit. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straight away Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And that's where we are tonight, saints. If you could know how much the devil has fought you to be here tonight. If you could know how much he fought me to be here tonight. But God has made this meeting possible just for him to tell us, be of a good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And when the devil has tried to get us from within the boat, just from among ourselves, to raise somebody that is contrary and saying things or strange doctrines or things like that, and he has failed to do that, the devil will not stop trying to get us. He will also raise forces from outside of us to try and get us anyhow. Because he has done this over and over again. If you read in the book of Daniel chapter 6, if we turn there, Daniel had been taken to Babylon, and he had purposed in his heart that I am not going to defile myself. And the Bible gives testimony that there was a spirit in Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, if we read from verse 1. He had an excellent spirit in him. From verse 1 it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. Over the whole kingdom of Babylon, Darius had set 120, let's say, prime ministers, so that we can understand in our own day. He set them over the kingdom, but over all those ministers, he put only three over them. So there was Darius, and then there was these three, and then there was the 120 ruling over this whole nation. And over these three presidents, they were called presidents, the three, of whom Daniel was first. Can you imagine the condition of Daniel in a foreign land? How much favor he had found with this king, that even of those three chosen men to be the prime ministers, the presidents over the nation, he was the first one. Yeah? And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So here was Daniel in a foreign land, and he has been set over the whole realm. Everybody reports to Daniel, and Daniel reports only to the king, no one else. Can you imagine the place this man was? Simply because he had an excellent spirit in him. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion. They were moved by jealousy to try and find occasion against this man. They were just not happy for his success. That's why a brother or sister should be very, very careful when you hear that brother Eli has been promoted at work and you don't find joy in your heart to be happy for him. You are in a very dangerous place because the devil knows how to use a jealousy person to bring his evil works against that person. Because already, even before these men were jealous against Daniel, the devil had an agenda against Daniel. From the very beginning, the devil had an agenda. And he was looking for ways where he could get Daniel. And he couldn't find, because an excellent spirit was found in this man. And then the devil had to use outside forces. And when these men were jealous against Daniel, and then the devil detected their jealousy, his plans, the devil's plans, coincided with the jealousy of these men. And that's how he anointed them to use them. That's why you and me, we must be very careful what we think about the other brother or sister. Because when your jealousy or evil thoughts over a brother coincide with the devil's plans for that brother, be careful. That's what happened to Judas. He had his plans against Jesus, and when the devil wasn't even looking to use Judas. He was trying to use Peter, but he couldn't find occasion to use Peter. But when he looked and he seen, oh, my plans are coinciding with Judas, what happened? It just worked. And the same thing, when you think good for a brother or sister, and your good thoughts for that brother coincide with God's good thoughts for that brother, God is going to use you to release blessings to that brother. That's exactly how it works. And when you do that many times, God also blesses you. Amen. Remember the sister in the prayer line who was translating for another sister who couldn't hear. And the prophet was talking and the sister was translating for that sister for her to receive her healing. And then the prophet said, you are healed too of your back problem. You see how good it is to be thinking good about other people. Say good about your brother. If you can't say anything at all good, don't. Because when you are jealous or you have evil thoughts over someone like these men had, the devil will use you. Because that's exactly how they were moved. That they became jealous and then said, these men, we shall not find any occasion in verse 5 against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So the very thing that caused the laws of the land to be created was because there was someone jealous against this man who had an excellent spirit. And that same devil is the same one today. All these laws that are being created and crafted against the believers today, the very source of these laws against Daniel is the same source again today, because the devil cannot find any occasion against you. You are a good brother or sister. You pay your parking fines if you get a parking fine. You don't cheat when it comes to paying tax to the government. When you are driving your car, it's got everything that it's supposed to have. You never let a bill go unpaid. Everything that the devil can get you against, you're doing it right as a believer. You don't speed on the road. Have you ever tried it? To go through a red light. Other people would do it and get away with it, but not you. Because the devil is looking always, where can I get this person? The moment you say a lie at work, they'll catch you. Because the devil is looking always, where can I get this person? And then when he has found an excellent spirit in you, brother, and he can't get you, then he moves the country, the laws of the nation, to start crafting laws that are contrary, because that's the only place where he can catch you. And then this president and princes assembled together to the king and said, King Darius, live forever. They worshipped him. And then they planned and made a law. And that law, they never say to the king, it's designed to catch Daniel. No. They don't reveal it. It was only later that the king discovered that I've been used. Because the king loved Daniel. And we are exactly in that place tonight. That this country and many other countries around us, they are crafting laws designed to catch you and me. It is only later when it has been put in place that people will realize that also that was against us. Like Brother Eli said, that these laws that they are crafting now, that children have to be taught A, B, C, and D, things that are directly contrary to the Bible. Why? For what reason? You know, why are they doing that? It isn't to catch the neighbor who doesn't care anything about God. Those people don't care. Nobody in your neighborhood who doesn't worship God cares what their children learn at school. They just know time for children to go to school, free child care. They send the children to school. Later on, they come and pick them. Don't even ask them, what did you learn? But because you and me, we are concerned, because we know what the devil's plan is, we sit down with our children. What did they teach you in school today? And they send us the letters and we see, okay, on this day they are teaching this. We don't send our children to school. And how many people are like that in this country, to be honest with you? There's not more than maybe 5,000 people that would care what their children learn. But why then are they putting that specific law, ignoring the other hundreds and hundreds of thousands and other hundreds and hundreds of issues, only spending time for that specific law to catch your child and my child? You see how this is designed just for us? And you might be a young man today and you have no children, but tomorrow you will have. And where will they go? What school will you send them? Because this thing is a sliding scale. It didn't just start with them saying, we must legislate and make sure every child in school learns about same-sex marriage. No. This thing started long time ago in other things. And if you really want to trace it, it started way back when they said marriage doesn't belong in the church. You go to the court and get married before the magistrate. That's all you need. Yeah? And then the next thing, they say, you can divorce whenever you want. Divorce was a very notorious thing to get. Very, very difficult. But slowly, if they had just come out and showed the whole plan altogether, nobody would have accepted it. But they said, let's start small by small, bit by bit, until we get our objective. And what is the objective? The days of Sodom and Gomorrah again. Exactly that is the objective. When those men came and say, we want to see your visitors, let them come out here. We want to know them. It wasn't to know them as to say, God bless you, brother, what's your name? No, it was the act of Sodom itself right there in the public. That's what they want. So now they start and say, let's have a gay parade. It starts light like that. And you get used to the gay parade, and then if you ever went and looked for the pictures of the gay parade for 1995 and compare them to 2005 and then 2015, what will it be in 2025? It's going to be worse than what it is now. Already now they go out there with nothing. And that's what's going to happen. So now when they say marriage does not belong in the church, we take it to the court. Then the next thing, you can divorce whenever you want. You don't have to have all these stringent laws and what. You can just divorce. Then when they got that, the same next thing, you can marry whoever you want. It doesn't really matter. And they agreed to that. And then the next thing was that you don't even have to get married. You can just live together and you have the same rights as those that are married. You see how this thing was on a sliding scale. Now they have finished with marriage. They have moved to the next frontier, the children. Yeah? What is their aim? To make atheists of all these children. That's exactly where they want to get to. And it didn't just start by, boom, everybody's going to have to learn this and this and that. No. It all started slowly, slowly. They say the state can decide for your children what must happen to them. Remember the referendum a few years ago, the children's referendum. They wanted to decide for our children. And then they got that. And then they moved. Say, the mother can abort the child whenever she wants. You know? And then the thing moved again, and they say, now we want to teach your children in school what we want. For what reason do they want to teach children those things? To make perverts out of them. Already the world is in a precarious condition because of what they are teaching in the schools. You can't discipline your children. You can't do this and that and that. Where is it going to end if you ask yourself? At what point will they say we are now satisfied, the whole thing is the way we want? They will never be satisfied until they have made perverts of all these children and all the men in the city. That's what they want. So if they can teach them when they are young to be perverts, it's going to be easy for them to accept it later in the future. Look at the perverted things that they are teaching children now. What are those children that are young now going to teach their own children? Can you imagine what a mess that we are in now? But that's exactly what has happened. And they have put those laws, and they put that law against Daniel. But what did Daniel do? What could he do? Daniel went home. The law, he was the next one to the king. Nothing could get to the king without Daniel's consent. Daniel was fully aware that there's been a law put in the land against me. And the king signed it into law. And that very day, Daniel went home, opened his windows, exactly like he did before the law was signed, and he prayed unto God. And that law was designed to catch him. The Bible says it. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. You see, this brother, he did not compromise on the word. That's what found him favor with the Lord. He knew what the message of the hour said. Because Solomon had prayed and said, if your children, wherever they are, pray towards the temple, hear them and answer their prayer. And he had read that in a message book, and that's exactly what Daniel was doing. And he came and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Exactly as he did. He wasn't moved by this law. It had been signed. What could he do? What will we do when they sign that law now on the 26th, is it? What will we do? Shall we then, what will we do? You know? But Daniel, he just continued the same. We will continue to teach our children what is right and what is wrong. We will not be afraid of the law. Even if they say the law cannot be changed. Because that's what happened in verse 15. When they caught Daniel praying and brought the issue to the king and said, we found this man praying. And your law says such and such and such. And these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. There's nothing even the king could do. But Daniel knew one thing, that even if it's the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be changed, there's a higher law than the law of the Medes and the Persians. And that's what we know, that no matter what law they will put here on the earth, we have a higher law. A higher law that God can invoke and turn around all this thing on its head. Because they took Daniel, put him in the lion's den for him to be devoured by the lions. But God had a higher law. Said, no, not Daniel. God knew exactly where Daniel was, all the way in this matter. God never took his sight off Daniel. Just as much as Jesus, when the disciples were in the boat, knew exactly where they were. No matter the tempest that rose from outside to try to drown the disciples, Jesus knew exactly where they were. No matter the amount of lions they put in there and how hungry those lions were, no matter the law of the Persians and the Medes, which could not be changed, yet God knew exactly where Daniel was. And that very same God, in the book of Romans, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what they can do in this country today or tomorrow, that same God, he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where your children are. And the same God who made a way for Daniel, he's going to make a way for you and for me. Because he's a father. Can you imagine when that Canaanite woman came to Jesus and she had been moved for on the behalf of her own daughter who was vexed by a devil? Yeah? And she came and said, Lord, help me. Do you realize the impact of those three words? Did anybody ever come to you and say, Dad, help me? How does that move you as a father? For me, when a child comes to me and say, Dad, help me, you don't know how much that moves me. Even if it's not my child and someone comes and say, Brother Will, help me. No matter how tired I am at that point, somehow, somewhere, I get the strength to go out and help the person. Because there's something about a person who humbles himself enough to come to a place where they realize that I'm helpless. I need someone else to help me. That's become a foreign thing in this world. Because the world now looks at it as a weak thing. You are a weak person who's looking for help. But not in the eyes of God. Because Jesus, when he finished with this woman, he said, Woman, great is thy faith. Yeah? Great is thy faith. Because she could humble herself even in the face of insults to say, we don't give the children's food to the dogs. She said, of a truth, Lord. How humble the woman had become to the point of asking help like that. And God looked at her and Jesus said, great is thy faith. I think that that same Jesus would say the same thing to us tonight. Because he's moved, the Bible says. He is moved with compassion. And he is a righteous father. He's much, much better than you and me. Because you and me, we are evil, the Bible says. Yet we know how to give our children good gifts. What more of God, who is righteous? There's no evil in him. There's no darkness. There's no malice. Nothing like that. He's a righteous, righteous God to the very point of even sending the rain upon the unjust people. God does that. What more for his children when we come to him and say, Lord, help me. Those three words. Brother, I could tell you a lot of stories, but we don't have much time. But every time I have gone before the Lord and say, Lord, help me, it has always moved him. Especially even today, I could say maybe about today. That for the last 3-4 weeks, I have worked so hard. Every day waking up early. From the first thing in the morning, I have meetings. And I love people. But people want you to explain things like the prophet says. And I get in a meeting at work and these people are saying, Wilmore, can you explain to us how that works? And it takes away the energy from me. Completely after you explain to people in the meeting, sometimes it's 1 hour, 1 hour, 30 minutes. And then it's meeting after. I counted the number of days that I had meetings from the first thing in the morning, 8:30, until 2 o'clock meetings. When do I have the time to do the work? And today was to be no exception. I was going to have meetings again until 2 o'clock, try to work, and then another meeting was put at 5 o'clock today. And I'm like, do people not have compassion? And when I woke up, and yesterday I was so tired. When I finished, I was so tired as my children. I usually send them to sleep at 8. Yesterday, I went to sleep at 8. You know? And I thought I'd wake up so early, prepare something for the service, and then start working. But I woke up today, 8 o'clock again. And I was like, my, I have a meeting at 8, at 8:30. Let me get myself ready. And I went downstairs and I said, no. Before I even touch my work computer, I can't do this today. Let me go and pray. And I knelt down and I said, Lord, help me. Help me today. If you could take away all those meetings, at least from 11 o'clock, to give me a clear day. My, I'm telling you, brother, sister, God answers prayer.
Amen.
God, when you come to him and say, help me,
Amen.
He is moved by that.
Amen.
And I can testify to that even today, that when I went to switch on my computer, the first meeting at 8:30 was canceled.
Amen.
Yeah? And I was like, wow, this is great. And I got up. The children had gone to school. So I started to rejoice. You know, my wife was not home. I thought the neighbors, if they hear me, that I don't care, you know? And I was so happy saying, oh, God, thank you for canceling that meeting. And then I went again and I was sitting. The next one was canceled.
Amen.
Ha! I said, this is wonderful. Amen. Then the next one for 5 p.m., I said, no, I'm going to tell them to put it earlier. And I wrote, I said, guys, I can't do that meeting at 5. We better do it at 4 because 4:30 I'm offline today. And then the next thing comes. Meeting canceled. I said, praise be to God.
Amen.
The only meeting I did today was when Brother Vladimir rang me to say, can you go help my wife? She's stuck somewhere. That's the only meeting I did.
Amen.
And I thought, why did God do this for me today?
Amen.
Why? Why did God cancel all my meetings today? Really, saints. I didn't have, these meetings were very, very important meetings for big, big, big companies that are relying on me saying something to them for them to make decisions. And they canceled every one of them. And I thought, why? The only one which wasn't canceled at 2:30. And I rang them. I said, I forgot I'm on my own at home. I have to pick my children at school. They said, oh, it's okay, Will. And I didn't have to attend that meeting either. Not even one today. So I thought, why did God cancel all those meetings today? Was it for me? And I think that he didn't do it because of me.
Amen.
God, he knew exactly where you and me are.
Amen.
And he knew tonight we must have a meeting.
Amen.
And he knew that if we are going to have a meeting tonight, because he is also wanting to come to this meeting. And I can tell you that he is here right now.
Amen.
If you can come to that realization, to realize that the very God who answered me, he answered me today in the morning, and he's going to answer us tonight.
Amen.
When we come to him in that same attitude and say, God, help me.
Amen.
God, help us. What can we do? What can we do, brother, if you think of it? If this law gets passed, and they say you have to bring your children to school. You know, what can we do? We can do homeschooling, and we thank the Lord that we've got such an option to do homeschooling. But it's not an easy thing to do. But what can we do? The thing that I know to do is exactly what this woman did, is to say, Lord, help us.
Amen.
Even Peter, when he met with Jesus, him walking on the sea, and he said, Lord, bid me to come if it's you. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. And then he began to sink. What did Peter say? Lord, save me.
Amen.
Jesus could not turn away Peter.
Amen.
How could he turn away his own disciple when he was sinking? And do you think that God will turn us away tonight?
Amen.
I don't think so. That's not the nature of God. He can't turn you away. If God could even have compassion for a man like Ahab, who could kill someone in cold blood, what more for you and me tonight? And that's exactly what I think we are, saints, is if we come before the Lord, God is moved. He is moved when we come before him and say, Lord, help me. In that simplicity, help me, Lord. And he'll do it. I know of a story of Donnie Morton. I think many of you would know that testimony. The little boy who was prayed for by the prophet from Canada. And that boy, he was only 4 years old, but he was so sick. His brain had been affected by something and he lost all movement and what. And it was so pitiful a sight that the father had to sell everything he had and traveled on a bus with a 4-year-old sick child. At every stop, he would go and rush and wash the diapers and buy some food for the child, and because the child was immobile and he couldn't travel with the wife. 2,800 miles he traveled on a bus to get to where the prophet was. Saints. And when he reached California, that story, it was in the Reader's Digest in 1940-something of that little boy. That story, when he reached California, for some reason he rang the radio station to say, where is William Branham? I've come from Canada, I'm looking for him. That's how the story got out into the media. And people, when they heard that story of how a father was moved with compassion for his son, it moved even people that don't even believe in God to give that man money to help. Until today, the story of Donny Morton is a moving story, if you go and read it. And it was just a father moved by the sickness that was on this child. What more you and me, brother, when we come before God and say, Lord, help us. Where else can we go for help? Our help comes only from the Lord. And I believe tonight, saints, if we come in prayer now as we invite the musicians, that God will hear our prayer. Just as much as when Peter said, Lord, save me. And he extended his hand and pulled Peter out. Just as much as when that woman cried out and said, Lord, help me. Just that. And Jesus says, woman, great is thy faith. And she went home and found a daughter. Well, I believe tonight, even if they put an Irish law, no matter which way they put it and what way that law says, but if we say, Lord, help us, I believe somehow God will make a way. Even after the law is passed, God will make a way, even as he did for Daniel. Let's just sing one song and we go into prayer.
Got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Thou Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power.
It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what we've been talking about today, is what God has done in the past for his people. When the enemy rose like a flood, God always raised up a standard to counteract it. And as this thing gets worse and worse, as it is getting in this world now, and the enemy raising outside of us, trying to rise from within and from without, there is no doubt that the Lord will raise a standard for us if we seek him diligently. It says, when my people that are called by my name shall call, I will hear from heaven. I'll heal the land for them. And we are in that place tonight that we need the help of the Lord. That's the only place where we'll get our help from when these things begin to rise like this. So let us pray and put this issue before the Lord for the sake of our children. If there is another tomorrow, our grandchildren will be affected by these laws. So let us put it before the Lord, that the Lord would raise some help from somewhere, that he may move one of us to step out of our comfort zone in the boat and walk on the water like Peter did. And that when the enemy gets angry with that, to see you walking on the water, fear not. It is God with us. He will stretch his hand and hold us. But whatever he puts on our hearts to do, let us go forth and do it. But now let us seek for the help of the Lord in this matter here. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your word, which is never failing. Oh God, even as you have shown in your word, there is not a single time we can read in the Bible where we could find a time when you turned someone away who came to you for help. Why, it even says in your word, Lord, that you would rain, oh God, you would cause the rain to fall on the just and even on the unjust. That's how righteous you are, Father. In that, Lord, you cause it to rain even for the unjust people, those that are contrary to you, Lord. Yet you let the rain rain upon their crops. Father, how thankful we should be to know that thou art a righteous God, that when we call upon your name, you will hear from heaven and answer the prayers of your children. We come, Father, before you tonight, seeking for mercy, seeking, Lord, that you may help us. For Lord, oh God, on our own, there isn't much we could do, Lord. Father, the world has become contrary. Yet, Father, we come in prayer before you, asking, Father, that you would have mercy upon thy people. If there is another generation tomorrow, Father, we pray, oh God, that, Father, you would move somewhere, somehow, and cause for there to be the laws of God established in the schools, established, Lord, in these communities, established in the nation, oh God, that we may live a peaceable life, and that, Lord, we would not have these troubles, Lord, where we would not know whether to send our children to school or not. But, Father, we are believing tonight, Father, that, Lord, you are God. You are the same as you were in the days of Daniel. Lord, when a decree had gone forth, Lord, and they had made a law to put, Lord, anybody who prays in a certain way into the lion's den. But, Father, there was a higher law, and Daniel did not waver. He stood on that law. He followed thy word, and as he did every other day, he went to do even when that law was put in place. Father, they apprehended him, but you knew where exactly Daniel was. Father, you did not let him down. You came to his rescue and closed the mouths of the lions. We could speak, Lord, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Father, even to the point of being cast into the fire. Yet you were there with them, O God, and the fire had no effect on them. Father, we could speak tonight of Esther and the children of Israel when a decree had gone forth to destroy them. Father, you caused it, Lord, that another decree would go forth that they could defend them. Lord, we do not know which way you will make a way for your children, but we are crying out to you. Help us, O Lord. Won't you come, O Father, and help thy people that, Lord, we may live a peaceable life, that we may worship you, Lord, that we may serve you, O Father, and shine the light in this dark world. Be merciful, O God. Our children are growing up, Father, and the enemy has desired to catch them and turn them into perverts. But, Father, we are not living
any of our children here, even as Moses went out with all the children, they left that evil place, Lord, and you sent them to the promised land. Father, we are praying the same tonight, determined, O God, to bring with us all our children, O God, that they will come to the promised land, that they will come into the message of the hour, that they will be born again, that, Lord, they will receive the Holy Spirit, that they will be candidates for the rapture, and that every one of them, O God, will not be caught by the edicts of this land. Lord, may you make us all subject, Lord, unto thy laws. O God, have mercy and help us. This world is in need of light. It is in need of great light. For darkness is pressing upon it, Lord, to destroy and to confuse. But we are believing in thee, O God, that you will take us through and that you are watching us, Lord, even as you are watching the disciples when the ship began tempest, Lord. And Lord, it was shaken from left to right. They could have drowned, but you came on the scene. Won't you come also tonight, Father? Oh God, we pray that you would have mercy upon us, oh God, that you would have mercy upon the little ones and help us, Father, that we may find a way, Lord, oh God, if it be that you could turn the hearts of the people that are putting these laws and turn them away, oh God, that it could give us space, Lord, that we could worship you and raise our children in the fear of the Lord. Father, that's all we are desiring to do, is to teach them the ways of the Lord, to keep them from perverted things of this world. Father, won't you make space and make a way for us, oh God? We worship you, Father. We are so thankful that you hear the prayers of your children. Won't you come now, Father, and answer them, oh God? I'm so thankful, Lord, for this day that, Lord, you made a way for me, that I could be here, Lord, that I could be used of you, O God. Father, when it was impossible, yet you made a way, O God, to show, Lord, that you were interested in this service and that you are going to answer the prayers of thy people and that you are going to provide a solution, O God. We thank you, Father. Thou art worthy, Lord. Father, we give you all glory tonight, Lord. Blessed be thy holy name. Father, we love you tonight, even as we commit every brother and every sister here, Lord, into thine hands. Father, want to hear the prayers of thy children. Lord, oh God, may you speak unto us, Lord. And the night watches, Lord, even as you came in the fourth watch when the disciples were out on the sea. Lord, won't you come also in the night watches, oh God, and let it be your voice that will speak to us, Lord, and say, it is I, be not afraid. Lord, Lord, let that voice speak once more, we pray. We love you, Father, and we worship you in the name of Jesus Christ.
I don't know if anybody has any prayer requests that they would like to be prayed over, apart from our regular prayer requests. You know, Sister Valika traveled to Brazil yesterday, and she was asking the saints if you could remember her in prayer. And I know Brother Maxwell is away as well at this time. And if the saints then could pray for him. I don't know if there's any other request that we have. So perhaps maybe we could sing a song, Brother Vladimir, and then at the end of the song, ask Brother Eli to come and commit our regular requests into the hands of the Lord, that he could hear our cry tonight on the behalf of our children. Just think of it, when you grew up and you went to school and there was none of these things that they are trying to teach the children now, it made such a difference for you. But imagine if you were taught the things they are trying to teach the children now. What a perversion that will make. You know, more than half the world today cannot receive the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, simply because of the effect of teaching evolution in the schools. So if just the teaching of evolution has brought the world to where it is tonight, What more this thing that they are trying to bring now? Can you imagine after teaching things like that in schools, what it will do to the world in 10 years' time? I'm telling you, this world is priming itself to destroy itself. So we ought to pray unto the Lord that he may hear on the behalf of our children, because they will have to contend with these things if there is a tomorrow. So let's pray, let's sing one song, brother, and we'll invite Brother Eli to put our requests before the Lord.
I'm gonna stay right
here, right under his blood.
I'm gonna stay
right under his blood.
I'm gonna stay right under his blood.
Where the devil can do me no harm.
I'm gonna stay
right under his blood.
I'm gonna stay right under his blood. I'm gonna stay right under his blood.
Providing once again for our souls, for this food that you have prepared, cooked and made ready for us to come and eat, O Lord. We thank you for your servant standing here, submitting, yielding to your will, and letting himself be used, O Lord, to transmit, to pass this message on to your people, O Lord. Heavenly Father, when we can see those heroes of faith in the past, O Lord, that stood, that took a stand, O Lord, against all the odds, O Lord. They took a stand against all the laws of the land to testify of you, O Lord. When we can see Daniel, O Lord, when everything was fashioned, everything was designed to work against him, while all the trend of that time was going against the word of God, but he took a stand, O Lord. Amen. Though it cost him his life, O Lord, he didn't value his life more than standing for the word of God. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, as a reward, after he has lost his life, you gave it back to him, Amen. O Lord. You performed that miracle that he couldn't have experienced if he didn't take that stand, O Lord. Mm. You said, he that lose his life for me, he'll recover it, O Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, let us not consider our advantage that we can get in this world, but let us take a stand for your word. Amen. We commit these children into your hands, O Lord. They are facing, we just wonder what will the next generation be when we see the speed in which things are moving in this country, O Lord. When we see how the world is being transformed, if we just go back 10 years behind, O Lord, things were not the way they are now. Amen. And in the next 2 years, they are planning even worse things at a very high speed, O Lord. Help our children, O Lord. Amen. We don't know what kind of world they will grow up in. We don't know what kind of workplace they will work in, O Lord. But help us to lay a foundation today, because you never lack a witness, O Lord. In any generation, you always have a witness to testify and to judge this world, O Lord. That's why let them, O Lord, pay heed to whatever is being taught today. We remember having been children, O Lord. We didn't even have the truth that they have, O Lord. But some of the things that we have been taught that time, they are still keeping us today, O Lord. Help them now, while they are being exposed to the full truth of the message of the hour, let it be a foundation, let it be a fence that will protect them anytime those winds, anytime those tempests will fight them, O Lord. Amen. Let the fence never, O Lord, give in, O Lord. Amen. That fence is you, the Lord Jesus. You are the gate, to the sheep, O Lord. Amen. Help them, Heavenly Father, Amen. That they will never, ever give in to Amen. The will of this world. Amen. Oh, Father, let touch the hearts of the rulers of this world. Raise someone that will take a stand, O Lord. Amen. Though this world is doomed, but we still need, as we are here, we need to enjoy this freedom, O Lord, Amen. To spread the gospel. Yes. So raise someone who can stop these laws in any way or another to give us enough time. Because John saw, while that angel was going to pass to destroy the world, you said you held that angel for a while. You asked the angels to return the winds because you still had the work to do. There's still a job to be done, O Lord. That last soul is still to be saved. Amen. Help us. Give us this borrowed time that we can work again. So, Heavenly Father, we commit everything into your hand. Lead us, O Lord. Grant us your mercy. Grant us your grace, O Lord, so that we can see your hand. O Lord, anything they will raise against us, anything they will design against us, O Lord, you will raise a standard Amen. And you will outplay it and it will turn into our advantage, O Lord. Amen. Bless your people. Bless this church. We commit our needs, our requests into your hand. Amen. We are a needy people. You know our deepest desire, O Lord. You know that to live in this world, we have daily needs, O Lord. Amen. Things that this world demands, O Lord, grant it to us. You said, seek the kingdom first and everything will be provided. Amen. We are working for the kingdom. We took, O Lord, everything, we put it aside and we prioritize the kingdom of God. Grant us now what you have promised. You never fail your word, O Lord. You will grant it for your glory. Amen. Bless our brethren we have traveled with. We remember our sister Valika. Mm-hmm. Bless her in Brazil, O Lord. Grant her a good time there among the believers and let her bring back good testimonies, O Lord. Bless the plane that she will take anytime, O Lord. She's there, and when she comes back, let your hand, let the angel protect her, O Lord. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, bless Brother Maxwell. Mm-hmm. Bring him back safely. Brother Andrew and the saints that went to Carlo, bring them back safely. Amen. Oh Lord, we commit our service for the weekend into your hand. Amen. Let your hand come. Let your presence really anoint the audience. Amen. Oh Lord, provide something for the ministers that will prepare to bring something for your people, oh Lord. Amen. Grant inspiration. Grant the anointing. Bless the whole congregation, oh Lord. Amen. Let everyone bring the anointing so that it can make that meeting a success, O Lord. Bless the song leaders, bless the musicians, everything, be it, O Lord, let it be for your glory. We commit everything into your hand. Take now the glory, take control as we commit it into your hand in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother. We have planted the seed, so we just water it, leave it in the hands of the Lord. I know the Lord will do something, and will come back again one day and give testimony. So let's just sing a watering song, something to praise the Lord, to thank him for the solutions that he has already given to us for these things that we are facing with. Hallelujah, he's an answering God.
Yeah, okay. Hallelujah,
He is an answering God. Hallelujah.
Service.